Ali Arruda, welcome to the Live Your Truth Now podcast. How are you? It's good to see you.
Mike, I'm so good. It's so nice to see you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped to be here.
Yeah, and I loved hanging out with you and your husband, Matt, through the dinner series when you guys were last here. That was so much fun. I'm really glad we got to connect. And when I got to spend some time with you just talking about the gym in Burlington and talking to you and Matt and how you've designed your life, I just got this like hunch and this feeling that I needed to ask you to come onto the show and really talk about how you built this life that you and Matt are living, where as a couple, you're building your businesses, you're doing life together, and you're also building community, and you've done that through the gym. So I'm super excited to talk about that today, and let's get started with this. So, you know, everybody has a transition point and how they get into the thing that they love. They either fall into it, they're forced into it, they're pushed into it, or it just comes and drops in their lap. For you, you had such an incident where you lost your brother in 2004. Talk to me about that moment leading up to that and why fitness became the way for you to carve out this life for yourself from his passing.
So when my brother Garrett passed, I was 18 and I was in a big life transition where I was getting ready to pack up my life and move to downtown Toronto to go to university. And I was coming from a smaller city just in the middle of Canada where I thought, I'm like, I think I'll probably end up staying there. I also was going to school for fashion and had this really exciting plan that I was going to spend all this time with my brother because we're going to live so close. And then just 2 weeks before I moved to Toronto, he passed, and I'm very open about it, that he took his life by way of, you know, suffering for 4 years from mental health. And that was a giant life transition because I had never experienced that before. I was very fortunate to grow up with three of four grandparents and, you know, didn't really experience a lot of death. And then to experience something so early on from somebody that was so young, Garrett was in his 30s, that it was a big transition, not to mention getting ready to start a whole new life that I had to sort of figure out my way of fitting into an entirely new like school environment, living on my own in residence, making new friends, a whole new level of schoolwork, getting part-time job, and then also kind of dealing with this grief and this loss. And I realized that I had the potential to, you know, dip into maybe some darker feelings. But my brother was also really passionate about fitness during his mental health journey. And I leaned in that way, that I thought, you know, this worked for him for a period of time. I'm going to try this approach. And fitness really became an outlet for me to process my feelings, process my grief and my emotions, and really focus on trying to help myself feel as good as I can in a not so great time.
And with mental health especially, you know, and again, just that passing of your brother and just dealing with such a time period in his life where mental health really took a toll on him, what lessons did you find from his own mental health journey that has allowed you to be able to take care of your mental health? And I know with your clients, I would love to explore that a little bit later and how you're kind of teaching others through this method of inspire and move and joy. But I think personally, I'd love to hear, what did you learn from the death of your brother in mental health and how important it is?
One of the biggest takeaways that from that experience that perhaps resonates with a lot of people that maybe are experiencing loss, that you realize how fragile life is. And that was the first time I really had that perspective. And then unfortunately, I've applied that perspective a few other times in my life, now being in my late 30s. And so that was the biggest takeaway in the beginning of, you know, life is really fragile. And I've carried that with me all of these years. And today I'm sitting here 38 years old, that I love and appreciate my life because we only get one kick at the can. You know, we're only here one time. And how we can apply that deep-rooted gratitude for our life can really impact a lot of choices that we make in our life. And I've chosen to really direct that into my mental health, my physical health, my emotional health, And it was interesting, you know, when my brother passed, it was a time where mental health still kind of had a bit of a stigma. And in the first 10 years after we lost him, eventually more news kind of came out and you would hear about a lot of celebrities experiencing mental health or taking their lives. And so I'm grateful in a sense that there is more awareness to mental health. And I think, you know, being able to talk about our feelings, that's one of the reasons why I've always been so open. It's almost 20 years that I openly talk about his loss, because it's actually helped me on my grief journey and just being authentically true to myself that, yeah, it was a painful experience, but this is how I've chosen to move forward, that I want to design a life that I love, that I'm kind of obsessed with. And now I have this incredible husband, that we have a business and I take care of my body and I know what makes me feel good, that this tragic life experience has actually helped me build a beautiful life that I love and really appreciate.
And what I love is your emphasis, something I actually just want to pull out of what you said was this creative aspect is like lifestyle by design, is creating the life and using tragedy that you experienced to create this life with your husband and seeing you have this business and you guys have this thriving community that you've built. For most of our audience out there that are entrepreneurs or in the beginning stages of building their business, they're probably listening to this story right now and feeling inspired and super motivated, the fact that loss has become a gain. And now they're at this point of creation where they're looking at it and how do they design the life that they want to live? And you and Matt truly embody that, being in partnership together, running the gym together, and also just showing up for these communities that you've cultivated. How did that start for you? What was the idea? What was the beginning stages of that process and really identifying what it would take for you to create something that is still in progress, but it's a life that you've always desired for yourself?
That's such a good question. I think at first it really, and it always has stemmed from a passion for fitness because of a deep-rooted emotional trauma, that it comes from a really heart-centered, authentic place. And what fitness has done for me in hard times, but also in great times, that I know that a workout, even if it's 20 minutes, is going to help generate amazing energy for me and how I want to feel in whatever I'm going into. You know, maybe it's I just recently had a photo shoot for a fitness magazine. I knew that I had to add time to my morning to ensure I had a really great workout to get me feeling great energetically. Yes, sure, it helps physically kind of tune things up before a photo shoot in workout wear, but it was more so for the mental space of like, I want to feel like I'm 10 out of 10 on my A game. And so all of this is deep rooted by this passion for fitness and how I want to feel. And then, you know, fast forward to when we had the opportunity to buy what is now our gym, we again focused on the feeling. How do we want people to feel in our space? We want it to feel positive. We want it to feel high energy. And we want to create a community that comes together and shares that common value of wanting to feel good mentally, physically, and emotionally. And having that perspective on overall wellness.
Yeah, I love the holistic approach to wellness. And one of the things I wanted to pull out here as well, because I love you talking about energy. So when you start your day, let's dig in more into like Ali Aruda's like day to day. She wakes up at what time and what's the intention that you immediately set for yourself right when you wake up that gets you to be in the energy to serve other people in the capacity of training?
So right now, our wakeups are about 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. We're in a different season with our gym routine. So they're earlier mornings, but we have our morning routine. You know, we have 3 dogs, so kind of care for them first. And then we have our room temperature lemon water with Himalayan salt to just flush out our system, balance our pH levels. We'll have a coffee together. And we also like to do a morning gratitude practice where we'll talk about, it's actually inspired by Lori and Chris Harder, their Power Nine, that goes through 3 things we're grateful for, 3 things we're excited about, and 3 things that we're manifesting, and how we want the universe to work with us, work for us. And let's get this good energy out in the universe and how we can dive into our day. And that sets our tone, just mentally, even spending some time together and talking about our day. You know, what does your morning look like? Do you have any calls today? What's for dinner tonight? And then coming back to the rest of our day, like when we come home together, because there's a lot of moving parts in our life right now. But it's nice to have that mindful morning, even if it is 10 minutes. Sometimes previously it's been an hour, which is really beautiful. And then we typically like to have a morning workout built into the first half of our day to, again, really support that good energy and those those post-workout endorphins, because of all the energy that we've generated in our workouts, that now you can apply to how you want to feel and navigate throughout the rest of your day.
What are you currently manifesting right now in your life?
So Matt and I are actually having our first ever mastermind, and our goal is 12 people. We want a really intimate room, and we're manifesting a sold out room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And it's so great that, you know, when moving into kind of the partnership aspect, you know, when Emily and I met you and Matt, it was very clear that there's a integration, there's an intertwining of dreams, of business, of lives. Yet you guys are your own people. Like Matt is still his own man and his own person, and you are your own woman and your own person. You have your own dreams for yourself. You have your own personality, and he does as well. Yet I found there was like a really amazing buy-in, that it was like two halves of a whole. It's like, we're going to manifest and create what we want for ourselves, but it's always going to be tied back to the mission. Do you guys allow for flexibility in those types of dreams? And if you don't, let's say there's disagreements or there's some sort of, you know, kind of, I don't want to say argument, right? Because that sometimes implies that there's a fight. But if there is a disagreement into that, how do you guys as a couple navigate being so intertwined in each other's lives? How do you guys able to like get back on track? What are your ways that you guys really connect back to the vision and the mission, you know, if it changes or it doesn't change?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for those kind words and just that sort of observation that you and Emily both had. And I feel the same way about the two of you. And I'm so excited to spend more time together.
Thank you.
We have that coming up in just 2 months. So I can't wait. But people laugh. Like Matt and I never fight. We are very much on the same page with kind of everything. And I think that's because we have so much love for one another, so much respect, and we are each other's best friends. However, I totally support how, you know, things can change. And we've only owned Benchmark Fitness for 5 years. And, you know, I love when people hear that, then they do the mental math of what's also gone on in the world within that time that has not been a, you know, beautiful walk in the park of entrepreneurship. But
yeah, especially for gym owners.
That was a really rough time.
I didn't even realize that when I said that. I was like, yeah, it must have been so different for you guys up in Canada when the world shut down and the gyms were all closed as well.
So different. And that teaches you a lot. And I think, you know, your question about flexibility, we're flexible. You know, we pivot, we change, we adapt. And that's something that I think, you know, we sort of chatted and riffed kind of before we hit record here. But I always believe, and maybe this also kind of stems back to all the way from like losing my brother, that I believe that life has a series of lessons for us. Should we choose to see them and take them with a grain of salt and navigate through them and, you know, take action on them, that I think that it comes to where with our mindset and, you know, upbringing, our personal development work, but having space for flexibility, that Matt and I are very, very aligned with our dreams and goals with our personal life, you know, our dream life, but also with our business. But a lot of it also comes down to communication and chatting through things. You know, he actually came into my office earlier today and had this great idea of something he wants to bring into the gym. And I was kind of the Debbie Downer. I was like, ooh, no, like liability, how's that going to work? And it just comes down to communication, where we now might have different roles where, okay, I love it. You do some research, come back to me and let's like book a meeting. Let's book a working coffee date and let's chat through what this could look like and how we can welcome some fun into our business because we naturally talk about our business all the time. Right. And it could be like a short 20-minute chat, but it could also be like a 2-hour lunch, and how we can welcome this playfulness and fun and good energy into business-related conversations.
And one of the things that you said that I really loved was flexibility, and like that being part of your, not just your life experiences, but also how you guys built your business. And, you know, and we won't dive too much into, you know, the darker period of what happened 4 years ago, right? But, you know, statistically, most entrepreneurs, I might butcher this statistic, but I think it's like roughly 90% of entrepreneurs don't make it past year 5. And those that do, there's a secret sauce. There's a thing that they do that they figured something out. And, you know, some people might say, oh, well, of course, they're selling, they're making money. But in the gym business and the fitness business, it's so competitive because people can open up brick and mortar gyms and people have choices of where they want to go. You guys have built such a spectacular community where it seems like to me from, you know, just what I've seen on Instagram and the footage that you guys have published, there's this like complete buy-in with your customers. And then there's buy-in from you and Matt and the other trainers that are like leading that. Share with me some of your entrepreneurial journeys around building community and treating customers. And how do you guys get people to continue to come back to experiencing not just fitness, but a sense of belonging? Like, what is your ethos and philosophy around that?
Oh, this is so good. Well, this is something that I don't even know who the first person was that said this, but we've probably read it in a lot of similar books and heard it in webinars and podcasts, but people really remember how you make them feel. And that is the biggest area of focus for the Benchmark community, and how we want to build community is how we want to make them feel. We want them to feel amazing. We want them to feel supported, encouraged, committed. And one of the things we say the most, first of all, is like how much we love our Benchmark community and how grateful we are for them. But we quickly follow that up with how dedicated and committed they are. Because I'm sure, you know, you and Emily are avid gym goers as well. And maybe you've been a part of many gyms over your young adult life, but there's certainly a lot of statistics out there of how many people don't go to the gym, that they pay for it, but they don't actually go. And it is amazing to look at our community, how committed people are and how often they come. And then you'll have this group of people in your early morning, your mid morning, that you kind of around the same time, but also having this collective energy of support where, you know, people will see that like, wow, Mike's really been working on his squats and today he hit a personal best, and we can all see that and we can celebrate that. And you have this like extra feeling of encouragement. They're like, I crushed that. And these people are celebrating me. And it's just how you are made to feel. And I always say that one of my superpowers is also remembering people's names. It's something that has been part of my life for many, many years. And that was,
I love that.
It's so true. And you know, you can have all these different tricks of how you do it, but I think that is a first step of how you make people feel, is that you join the gym and then a week later you walk in and I can greet you by name, or I remember that you and Emily are getting married on April 20th and I can talk to you about that, like how you're feeling, where you are just dialing in to at least two things about their personal life that you have to reference in conversation, and again, coming back to how you're making them feel.
I love the first name thing. It's something I've been working on over the last like year or two, is like faces and names. And one of the tips that I've learned is like, you get them to repeat their name again, like right after you ask it, like, what's your name? Allie. Okay. Like, and what, say that, spell it for me, or say that again, Allie. Okay. And then what it does is, at least for me, it registers the face with the name. And I also think the power of intention that goes when you do make connections, I think there's so many distractions that happen when people even go to networking events, or they, and you've been to a good amount of mastermind groups or these networking events where there's so many people there and there's so many things happening. that very rarely do you find the energetic concentration of meeting one person at a time and remembering that person and who they are and what they do and how you connect to them. And I think it's just so beautiful. Like, you take a lot of pride in remembering your members, which I love. For entrepreneurs out there right now that may be hitting a struggle or a bump in their business, you guys have had your fair share in the fitness industry of struggles and bumps. Give me some advice. What can someone do right now if they're finding that business is kind of dying down a little bit, their energy's not that high, the enthusiasm's a little bit low, their marketing and things aren't working, people aren't coming into their either e-commerce store, their brick and mortar shop, or people who are throwing events, it's kind of lower attendance. What do you advise? How can someone get out of this funk and keep their focus on the mission at hand? What do you suggest?
I would first do a little self-reflection. Where are you spending your time? Who are you spending your time with? And, you know, you can have sort of subcategories of that, that Matt and I just talked about this today, that, you know, from a gym standpoint, if you are someone that values how you look, how you feel, and working out is important to you, that's a big part of your 30-day time block. If you're going to go to the gym 4, 5, 6 days a week. So where are you spending your time? Are you spending your time in a gym that inspires you, that stretches you to lift heavier, work a little harder, meet some great people? And that's just a micro example because we were chatting about that today. But where are you spending your time? Who are you spending your time with? And really starting there, but then moving into more from a like a actionable step standpoint, I would go the inexpensive route by dialing into great podcasts, like making sure that you're following great shows in the entrepreneurship category. I would treat yourself to some new books, that there are so many incredible authors and subjects out there, whether you want to go leadership, whether you want to go, you know, mindset in business, and treat yourself there. You know, you're working your way up from an investment standpoint. And then I would put a bigger event in your calendar that you might have to save for. You might have to take on a side hustle. And that is one thing that I've certainly learned over the years, that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. We got to work hard for it. And sometimes you got to get scrappy. Sometimes you might have to work 3 jobs. I feel like I worked 3 jobs until I was like 35 because I wanted to. It was my choice. But, right, you know, if there are things that you want to do, you also have to make sacrifices. And Matt and I have certainly done that in the last few years, where getting into rooms that will move the needle for us and our business, that's taking a priority versus going to Turks and Caicos for a week, because we're realizing the greater impact. And, you know, we're kind of even going back to what we were chatting about earlier, we are so lucky that we have this beautiful, you know, marriage and friendship and business relationship that all work together so harmoniously, and that we get to do business together and we get to have fun doing it, that going to a 2-day mastermind is really fun for us. And we'll find places in whatever city we're visiting, like, where are we going to go for dinner? What gyms are we going to go visit? Where are we getting coffee? And that we can build on that. But to just sort of tie a bow on your question, that I would do that self-reflection, maybe journal on it, and you might have to make some tough choices. We've also done that over the years, where we're kind of recognizing, like, these friends aren't really like vibing the same way, and we're kind of growing in 2 very different directions. And now we're really aware of who we want to spend our time with, like what lights us up energetically with relationships. And it's even why, you know, we fell so in love with you and Emily so quickly, that you can really feel that collective energy of growing in the same direction. And that does sometimes come with hard conversations and hard decisions. And after you do that self-reflection, I would go into those like investment baby steps, where you start for sort of free, no cost, little cost, and then work your way up to that investment.
I think it's also so valuable, Allie, and I love what you said there about dreams and also getting into rooms. And like the dream part, I just want to expand on this a little bit more. I think one of the things that is so important for entrepreneurs is to keep their dreams and their hopes alive at all costs. And I believe that most entrepreneurs fail because they quit. They just give up. you know, they don't find a way. And really, when you're an entrepreneur, your job is to solve problems. That's literally what it means. And so most entrepreneurs quit. So for those of you who are struggling right now or trying to figure out a way to grow your business, or you've been hitting some lull in sales, the idea is really to keep your dreams alive. And speaking of dreams, Allie, for you guys, this mastermind kind of came out of a vision that both of you had. And it was also inspired by your attendance in not just Chris and Lori's groups, but other mastermind groups and other networks that you guys have been a part of. Most people have the notion that paying to get into these rooms is some sort of scheme, or it's a scam, or it's like network marketing. It, you know, there's like a bad name to it. Mm-hmm. And I have always found that when I've paid to get into rooms with highly curated and really amazing, valuable people, like myself and Emily would have never met you guys had we not paid. Yeah. I truly believe that. And we paid to be in the same group, right? And so there's those connections, and that alignment piece is super important. I would love to have you just kind of open up the conversation more about the power of networking and choosing carefully these groups. And how do you find the right room to be in? What does it really take? What do you look for specifically when going into a room?
I think it often starts with the leader. Who's curating the room? Who's curating the experience? If it's somebody that you've been following for a while, whether it be on Instagram, their podcast, maybe they have a book, or maybe you buy their products. If you've already kind of bought into who this leader is, that's already a great step. Then maybe do your research. Maybe is there somebody else that has already invested in that room or experience that you could have a quick connection call with to ask their experiences and their feedback? And I thought what you said was very valid, that some people don't see that as great investment opportunities, or they think it's a trick or a scam or not worth the money.
Yeah.
You know, look at restaurants that sometimes you could go, like Matt and I could go for a great date night and we could try a new restaurant and spend $400 on dinner with a beautiful bottle of wine and cocktails. And you could leave like, that was not good, but we've spent the money and now we know, okay, we won't do that again. There might be things that you invest in that unfortunately, yeah, maybe it wasn't great. However, don't
cut yourself. That's so good. I love that.
At the ankles and just write it off that you're not going to be able to invest in any more rooms. Like, yeah, maybe you had a bad experience, but that's life. Life is full of lousy experiences and learning lessons, and it's what you do with those learning lessons. So don't sell yourself short and just not invest in getting in rooms. Maybe you just didn't invest in the right room.
Yeah. And I think asking for help too from people in your community, especially if you're an entrepreneur, if you have friends that are entrepreneurs as well, like asking them what rooms that they've been a part in, I think is incredibly valid because, you know, entrepreneurship tends to be a lonely endeavor. It used to be like a solo. I think the tide's kind of changing a little bit where, you know, it's not so much, you know, entrepreneurship's just like a one-person show anymore. I mean, people are building their businesses, but they're doing it in conjunction with other people who are building their businesses in the same room. And I think the investment attitude's like really valuable. I love what you said there. It's like you're just never going to know. The good comes with the bad. There's all a reason for it. For you and when curating and finding people, and I want to touch on this because this just came to me as we were talking, is about, you know, finding that you kind of outgrow people when your dreams get bigger as you get older. And I would love to talk to you about that because I have experienced, and this was more in like my, probably say like my early mid 30s, I experienced a transition where I still had these dreams. Like I had these big dreams. It's like I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to like live and own a house someday. I wanted to like be in Arizona. I had this dream. And I remember I had this group of friends that like just weren't there. Everything was hard. There was always like a complaint. There was always like, it was everybody else's fault. There was like no personal accountability. And I was so torn by that, Allie, because I felt a sense of responsibility that like, you know, they've been my boys since high school. They've been my boys since like the military. Like, you know, they were my first friends I met when I got out of the military. And I felt this like sense of allegiance. But then at the same time, my dreams were so big. And it was like, I had to let that old part of me die. And it was like so brutal. But now I know, understand why, is that sometimes in order for your dreams to survive, you have to let things die in your past to make space for that.
Mm-hmm.
For you and your transition with you and Matt was letting your dreams get so big and just keeping them big and keeping your vision for your life big. What's the cost of that for you guys? What's the cost? Are you guys okay with people falling in and out? Are you okay with things not working out? How do you guys navigate that, keeping the dreams and hopes alive?
It's such a good question and it's such a good topic. And I've said this recently with some other friends. I'm like, nobody really talks about this enough. It's like going back to the mental health piece. Like, this is a big deal. Right. Why are more people not having this conversation? But it's taken me a long time to get here. And it's something that we're kind of always working through, especially in these last few years where we've really like jumped on a rocket ship of personal growth and growth in our business and the scale in which we're investing in our business. Because now we're in rooms where we get to meet these amazing people doing big, amazing things and having these conversations that truly light us up and inspire us, where we're not just chatting about like, so what are you doing for the weekend? Are you going for cocktails? That, I mean, I'd love to go for cocktails and chat about our big dreams and then, you
sure,
know, wrap it up and go to bed by 10. Like, that really works for me.
Right.
But we've gone through some, you know, peaks and valleys. And I think also kind of really being aware with those self check-ins of how you're being made to feel. And I've experienced this where, you know, you sort of go and you're like, it's fine. Kind of like to what you're saying about your friendship group where you're holding on because you've been friends for so long or you've been friends through this. So they were in your wedding party. But eventually we have to shed those layers. We're like, this doesn't feel good anymore. And we have to be really authentic to ourselves. And that North Star is our big dreams. What is it that we want to strive for? What is it that we want to build and create? How we want to design our life, going back to that lifestyle design piece.
Yeah.
And you'll collect new people along the way that will support you and your dreams. They'll ask about your dreams. They'll attend your events or share your content. All things that are very simple to do. And until you have those people in your circle, you don't know how that feels. You know how it feels when they don't ask about what you're doing or supporting you. But then when you get that circle of friends that do, that's a great needle mover. And it's a whole new level.
Yeah. And I think one thing to even just to piggyback on that is that not your friends don't have to have the same dreams as you do.
Totally.
But they do need to understand it. They do need to get that there are times that you're not going to be available. You're not going to be able to be at every single barbecue or cocktail hour or birthday party. There's just going to be times where that's just not applicable for you. And it's also the cost, at least what I have found for me, is that as my dreams get bigger and as I start moving towards more of this persona and this version of myself that I want to become, and especially not just doing the podcast, but the work that I love doing, I have found that like the circle, and I think like Dean Graziosi was telling us this when we were at the dinner series here, which was like a fucking phenomenal talk where he literally was just talking about as your dreams get bigger and as your life continues to evolve and that dream stays alive, the circle of friends and people that you have there gets really small.
Mm-hmm.
And I resonate with that so hard because it's like I can still love people and I can still have them there and I can still have them be a part of my dream, but not everybody's going to be in that circle. But it feels like I'm dying. It feels like I'm dying. Like it feels like a part, like I'm just like a slow death is happening. Because it's like, I feel such allegiance. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, that's a bit of a mind, we'll use a different word, like a mind mess up, a complex variation where you can spiral with imposter syndrome. Where I did this on a jog walk last week and I came in and I'm like, Matt, oh my God, is it me? And I have this whole spiral real fast. And then you kind of have to tap into the work that you do and also having a supportive partner that is like, okay, we'll just sit down, let's just break this down and just bring you back down, level you out again. But I think it is really easy to kind of reflect inward and overanalyze yourself. If you are going through those seasons of transition, those are big emotions and a lot of emotions to process.
Yeah.
So I feel you.
Yeah. And it's also, And there's a book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks that really talks about like the your upper limit, right? And so I have, and I recognized that when I read that book, conceptually, I had found that like it wasn't so much me dying, like a physical death. Like I'm not dying anybody. I just want to let people know that. Yeah. It's more of just like, it's an egoic death. It's a death of like the self where I'm like losing an identity or a part I knew about myself to make space for a version that maybe in reality hasn't come to fruition yet, but I see it so clearly that that's like what I'm working towards. But Gay Hendricks talks about like this upper limit piece where it's like you're constantly just leveling up and it's slow and it's not always a rocket ship, but you just feel yourself like I'm going in a different direction. Like, you know, the late nights at the bars don't really sit with me well anymore. The cocktail fun happy hours are just kind of like, it's not worth my time. Going to Turks and Caicos, I mean, by the way, Turks and Caicos probably be like absolutely fantastic, but like that or a mastermind to get you towards your dream and goal, like, you know, maybe we can go vacation another time. So totally. I totally hear you on that. And as we're, and as we're coming to the back part of the episode, you've shared so much amazing wisdom about just what you've learned. And one of the things I want to open up with that I think a lot of the listeners want to really dive into is just your partnership. You and Matt are so aligned in so many different things and that intentionality is there. I think for me, what I'm curious to ask about for you guys is that how do you feel like he pushes you to be better? And how do you feel like you push him to be better?
Oh, I love this so much. Matt is my number one supporter. And I think that is a really special piece about partnership in life, marriage, business, but also as friends, that I could go to him and say like, you know, I'm canceling this event. It doesn't feel good anymore. And he will calmly chat through it and ask me the why. And I'll give probably some fluffy answer based on an emotion that I'm feeling or something that's triggered me. And he will be able to see that larger picture and bring me back down level-headed. He's very calm, cool, and collected. A little bit more analytical than I am, that I think is, you know, we're really new into sort of like Enneagrams, human design. We haven't really tapped into that yet.
I love that shit. I love that stuff. I'm a 7.
You're 7. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm a 3. I think I'm an achiever.
That doesn't surprise me.
And I think it'll be really cool for us, like as husband and wife, but then also as business partners to see how it works and what numbers we are and what that unlocks. But I feel like I've really helped Matt dive into the world of personal development because I was into this a lot earlier than he was. And not that he ever had like a problem with it, but he was, you know, worked a really great corporate job in luxury sales. And eventually we started doing this together. And we went to an event a few years ago that Keisha hosted. It was called Empower Her Live. And it's hilarious because it was literally all women and Matt in the audience. The only other men were the husbands in the back. And so we had a good laugh about it. But how this event was so transformative for him because he had been listening to the Chris Harder show and got to see Chris speak live. And then Trent Shelton was also really transformative for him.
Yeah.
And this kind of like circles right back to getting in the room where we got in the room, whether you're a guy or girl. I think when you hear somebody speak, it doesn't really matter, you know, if you're a guy or a girl. It's what the message is from the speaker and what you're taking away.
I agree.
And now I love it because I would never want to, you know, push something on him in terms of like, you have to read this book or listen to this podcast, that it happened organically. And that was the aha moment for Matt. And now we get to do this together, that we walk our dogs. We each have an earbud in, listening to a entrepreneurship podcast and, you know, chatting about it when the show's done. And it's got to be one of my favorite things that has really blossomed in our relationship just in these last few years, and how we can bounce things off of each other. But I think going back to that piece of support and encouragement and a deep-rooted love, respect, and friendship for one another.
Oh, that's so good. And I think one of the things that I love the way that you guys describe the inner workings of your relationship and how when you make a decision that maybe, you know, spur of the moment, it may be like, quote, emotional or may not feel aligned to you like immediately, he approaches you with such grace and asks you to tell him what's going on. Why are you doing it? And I'm sure that's so helpful in a business aspect, because setting expectations to have those conversations has to be incredibly important. Do you guys go in with a framing of how conversations need to happen? Or is this something that naturally just kind of bleeds over into your business from your personal aspect of being married together? Do you guys find that you have the exact same way that you navigate business conversations the same way you do personal situations?
100%. And we have, you know, we sort of have our respective roles that in the business, that I have the fun job of being, you know, like chief marketing officer and community officer.
Right.
And Matt's more like analytical. He's more of our CFO, but yet I'm more of the tech person, which I'm not super techie, but I do all of our back end stuff with our online store, enrolling new members. Mm-hmm. And Matt's really good, especially now that he's really come into the business even more since we started everything 5 years ago. And he's really amazing if I ever feel overwhelmed, because now I am training more clients than I ever have before, which takes me away from any sort of admin marketing roles until kind of the back end of my day. He's really amazing at asking, how can I support you? What can I take off your plate? And just even asking means so much. Because sometimes the answer, I was like, well, you can't, because I have to do this and this and this, and it's social media and it's updating our shop. But at least just asking the question makes me feel sort of seen and supported and loved.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that dynamic. And before we get into the final question of the interview today, I just want to just thank you so much for just your energy and your just enthusiasm and your wisdom and just sharing your experience and just not your entrepreneurial journey, but really what it means for you to be authentic, to keep your dreams big and to inspire people. So Ali, thank you so much for being a part of the show this week. And as you know, we ask every single guest on the show what it means to them to live their truth. So Ali, what is your personal definition of living your truth?
I think it's feeling and being really connected with your own personal energy systems. How do you feel emotionally, mentally, physically? Because we are in control of that. We are totally in control of how we want to design our life. It's not always easy, and it takes hard work, takes some sacrifices, tough decisions, tough conversations. But we have the power to design a life that we love. And we also have the power to design how we want to feel. So how are you going to start your day? Who are you spending your time with? How are you moving your body to generate this energy? And then just really being yourself. You know, you won't be, and I've really learned this in entrepreneurship and even being, you know, online, but more so in business, that you or your business, both, you won't be everything for everyone. And that was a big lesson in entrepreneurship I've learned. And I think the sooner that you can really digest that and feel at peace with that, and you do have to feel at peace with that, that I can't be everything to everyone. And that's okay. I am me, and I'm going to be a great fit, a great energy for a lot of people, but not for everyone. And being really aligned with how you feel. And if things feel icky and they don't feel good, trust that intuition, trust your gut, and do say, be what makes you feel authentically you and what makes you feel the best version of yourself.
That was so good, Ali. I love that. And thank you so much for that wonderful answer. And again, thank you so much for joining the show this week. And thanks to all of you for tuning into this week's episode of Live Your Truth Now. If you like what you heard, go ahead and give us a follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch other episodes of Live Your Truth Now podcast on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Mike Liguori. I will see you guys all next week. Take care.